Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the Honoring Hour. Today is Tuesday, February 23rd, and I wanted to let you all know some things that are coming up. I'm glad that you've joined us today. On March 9th, we're going to be having Sabine Venberg talking about reactivating your passion. Sabine is a singer-songwriter, a business owner, and she's got a lot of stuff going on, and she's going to talk about how to really look inside yourself and motivate yourself from that inner spark and get yourself living your soul's path. So I'm excited to have her on there. On March 23rd, we're going to have Melinda Furch talking to us about flower essences. And I'm so glad I finally found someone. I kept putting out the spirit. I wanted to talk about flower essences. And Melinda is stepping up and really beginning her path. So that's going to be a fantastic opportunity. Also on March 23rd, that is our one-year anniversary on the Honoring Hour. So I'm going to be doing some giveaways, and I really hope that you all will join us then. So it'll be a lot of fun. And we also have on the 16th of March, we're going to have our regular monthly guided meditation. So we're looking forward to having you all back, and we're very thankful. I'm very grateful to all of you who have helped the show grow and who have really just let me know that the show's helpful to you. It's something I really appreciate doing, and I do it for fun. I love doing it, and I'm glad that it's continuing to work out that way. Today, we have Sousa Scalora, and I was very lucky to know someone who recommended Sousa to me, and I was delighted when Sousa contacted me, and I checked out her website, www.myth.com. Sousa wrote the book Evidence of Angels, which I have a copy of right here in front of me, and have gone through it, scoured through it. It's absolutely beautiful. So I'd like everybody to welcome to the show today Sousa Scalora. How are you, Sousa?
Hi, Lynn. Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's such an honor to be on the Honoring Hour. I love it.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us. And Sousa, can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got to writing books? I mean, you've got quite a varied background.
I do, yes. Well, I am a photographer. That is what I do for a living. I'm a commercial photographer. And for a living, I do beauty photography, which is, you know, for cosmetics, for women and perfume and all those different things. But I've always had a love of what I call the unseen world. And I've always found the things that I can't see with my eyes much more interesting than the things that I can see. So many years ago, I started working on a project with the website myth.com that you just mentioned. I started the website in 1995, and it was a place for me to show my photographs of fairies and different mythological characters and just different, putting faces to the unseen world, basically. And, you know, I was always trying to kind of get work with these photographs and make a living. But it just wasn't something that was very commercial. So that's why I started doing the beauty photography. But my love for creating these images of spirit, it just kept growing. And I was given an opportunity by the universe, I feel, like about 12 years ago, I met this amazing woman at HarperCollins Publishers who loved the photographs I did of fairies and hired me to do a book cover for I Was a Teenage Fairy by Francesca Leah Block. Mm-hmm. And that started a relationship that lasted for 12 years, and she published my first book, which was called The Fairies, Evidence of Another World. And that book chronicled an archaeologist researching fairies, and we did it in a very scientific way. Because I always find it so interesting when I talk about like the spirit world or angels or fairies, which are really two different things, but both from the unseen world, how people always want evidence. So I've always kind of played on that I'm a photographer and showing people evidence. And so I kind of consider my work a portal to the unseen world. So my quest is really to just open people's minds to, well, what if there are fairies? What if an angel exists? Because I think by asking that question, it can open your mind and more importantly, your heart to miracles and to the magic and amazing things that are around us every day. So that's kind of the mission and vision for my work. And my latest book, which you mentioned, Evidence of Angels, is a book I was working on for many, many years, and wasn't really coming together for me until I actually lost someone that was very, very close to me. And I went through a very dark time and really lost my faith and stopped taking pictures of angels, or kind of thought, I'm not going to do books anymore. And I was very depressed. And by a series of events that happened, and I feel like it was the angels guiding me, and grace brought me back to a place of believing in a much stronger way than I ever had before. And so this book really chronicles my journey of finding hope, finding angels, and finding love again. And I don't mean love in the romantic sense. I mean finding my love in my heart. And so it was an amazing journey, and it took about 4 years to create the book, and it's a picture book, 64-page picture book with photographs that I created, and the story threading through it of the journey from feeling despair and hopeless to a place of feeling faith and alive and love again. So that's a little bit about the book and about me.
You know, I have to say, when I first got the book, well, when I first checked out your website, the pictures are beautiful.
Thank you.
And I was so mesmerized by the pictures. And then when I got the book, it's just like, it draws you in. It's so elegant and beautiful, and just the colors. It makes me feel like a kid again. It really pulls me into it. So I was flipping through here just looking at the pictures, and of course I'm seeing the words, but they're not registering in my brain. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until, I bet I had the book a month just lost in the pictures themselves before I actually started reading the story behind it. And then it just made the pictures even more vibrant. It's almost like the book holds a magic of its own.
Oh, thank you.
When you touch it, it really just it just pulled me inside of it, and at the same time completely opened me to, like, I just felt like I was so connected with everything. It was a really interesting experience physically and mentally and emotionally for me going through that.
That's so nice to hear, because I worked on it, you know, for so many years, and, you know, before I took a picture or wrote a word, I always sat down and set my intention to create the book from the most loving place in myself, and to ask for the angels' guidance, and what did the angels want to come through in this book, because I always felt that there was a higher calling for me to create this book, that it wasn't so much about me, it was more me channeling this experience and giving this book as a gift. So, but when I really work alone in this, so it's wonderful to have it out in the world now, and hearing people respond to it and just their experience with it is really exciting for me. So, thank you.
Well, I definitely think that the energy of being connected when you wrote it really came through. That's my personal opinion, and I'd be willing to bet that, you know, anybody who reads it really can connect with that, whether they're consciously aware or they're just picking it up for because they like it, or, you know, whatever. I don't think you have to be open so much to the spiritual world to really experience this book in that manner. I think it just automatically does its job. It does the work that it was intended behind it.
That's so nice to hear. You always think I'm writing for and photographing for not necessarily the people that already are there, that, you know, have a relationship with the spirit world. It's more the people that are kind of wondering, or maybe not even open, but, you know, the universe might lead them to the book. You know, walk in the bookstore and see it sitting there and pick it up And I feel like the illustrations, the photographs are definitely what will capture people first. That's what captures me. I mean, I'm a visual artist first. So for me, like, I would be like you, probably just look at the book for a month before I'd start reading, because I just love visuals and I love color. And that's what came to me, like, when I'm writing the book, when I'm sitting, I sit in front of a large sketch pad and I have my candles lit and I really have this kind of meditative state, and I'm asking, you know, the angels, like, what does this angel look like? Well, first, which angel needs to come through? And like the angel of compassion, she's on the cover of the book, and you know, I was always like, what does she look like? Where is she? What does she need to say? And asking those questions. And you know, sometimes it takes some time. It doesn't come right away, but, and that's why it's such a long process to do the book. But I really feel that it's very real. It's very real, everything in the book. And there were so many fun things that happened to me while I was working on the book, because there were times when you're working on a book and you have a deadline, there's a lot of stress that came up for me in trying to finish the book. And there are a lot of people involved in the book because of the photography and the sets. So sometimes I would have this feeling like fear would overtake me, and I'd be like, I don't know, how can I finish this book? And I remember I was walking to my studio one day, and this woman just stepped right in front of me. I live in New York City. She stepped right in front of me. I'm crossing the street, and right on the back of her jean jacket, there's this rhinestone angel, and it said, "Believe in angels." And it's like those little things like that that are not little things. I feel like everything is a sign from above. I really do. And it's just little things, like when I would feel like, oh, I don't know if I can do it, you know, that feeling that can come on. And, you know, the angels were there to support me. And it was probably one of the best experiences of my life, I'd have to say, going through the journey and creating the book.
Yeah, I love the jean jacket story, because I teach a class called Opening Communication, where I facilitate people opening, communicating with their spirit body, their guides, their angels, and their soul. And the angels are so much fun, because they really do all that little stuff. You know, they just love to give and be there and do, and they're so easy for people to connect with. It's the first one that I like to have them do, because it gives them that sense of empowerment that, oh, yeah, I can do this. This is really real.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah. So as a matter of fact, I'm putting a link on the Honoring Hour main website, www.thehonoringhour.com, where I'm going to be teaching one of those classes coming up in March. So if anybody that's interested, you can check that out. It may not be a working link yet. I was working on it some this morning, so I haven't had a chance to coordinate at all, but I wanted to be able to mention it today on the show. And for those of you that have not gone to Sousa's website, it's www.myth.com. And we have someone in the chat room that said it's really beautiful, and it is. The website is gorgeous. But I highly encourage you to get a copy of the book, because the website doesn't translate, in my opinion, the energy that the book itself carries. It just makes it different to actually experience what the book stands for and the energy that was put into it that go along with the pictures. And speaking of the pictures, when I started looking through the book, like at first glance when I got it from I have a P.O. box, so as soon as I realized what it was, I ripped it open and just flipped through it before I started driving. And my first impression was, oh, I thought they were pictures, because they look more like, you know, like paintings,
mm-hmm.
actually. So can you talk about how the pictures came together in the book?
Yeah, you know, that's, most people think that they are paintings, and I love that, because I feel very, as a photographer, it's a tool for me to communicate with people, but I'm not attached to it looking like a photograph, and I'm so influenced by paintings. And painters, and really that's where I get so much artistic inspiration is from painters. there's so many of them, too many to name. But so I kind of, when I'm creating the photographs, I have that in mind. I want to be able to take the reader into a world, a different world than where they're sitting. You know, like I feel like the unseen world is this world of color and abstraction and things we can't even imagine. And so I kind of try to convey that through the photography. And so part of that is creating an image that blurs the line between reality and fantasy, I guess. And I use, you know, different techniques to kind of create this image that, you know, what is it, painting, illustration, photography, you don't know. I work very organically, so I know kind of like what the image is going to look like, but then it always kind of transcends into something else. I can never really remember how something is done. It's really interesting because I work with lots of lights and so much equipment, and people always wonder, well, how do you do it, like, specific, like, especially photographers that, you know, are very technical, and I don't work that way. I really work, like, with a just feeling, you know, just like, this is going to work, and it just does. So it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun.
Now, like, on, I just opened the book up to The Angel of Sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way that this is depicted? Is that how the photograph was taken?
It is. That's one of my favorite ones in the book, and it's because people always will talk to me about Photoshop and digital. And, you know, so people will say, oh, well, that's digital. Actually, this photograph that you're looking at, is there is no digital on this one. Now, some of them do have some work done to them, but mostly they're very, what I call, organic and very pure. And it is like when you look at it, it's like, wow, what's going on there? But it's just a combination of movement and shutter speeds and light. And, yeah, so that's actually how it looked. And I always, ever since I started doing this, you know, back in like 12, 15 years ago, I always believe like miracles happen, mm-hmm. and surprises happen. And this was one of those cases where I'm shooting and I have a feeling something's happening, and then I'll see the film, or, you know, in this case, you know, now, of course, we don't use film anymore. We use digital backs. You know, I'll look at the monitor and see the image and be like, wow, something happened there. Mm-hmm. And I have this whole theory where I don't know how much you or your audience would know about photography, but usually when you're taking a picture, you're shooting at 1/25th of a second. So it's very fast to freeze whatever's there. Well, for this type of work, I always leave the shutter open. And I have this magic number. I call it 8 at 8. And I feel like that gives enough time for something to happen. Something comes in and happens on, you know, the film plane or the digital plane. So I'm very esoteric in my process and what I think happens. And I've seen it happen before. Actually, many pictures in the book. There's a picture of the Angel of Clarity. Mm-hmm. And she was one of the first ones I did for the book. And that's in Central Park. And right above her, there's like these little globes of color. And all that was, it was all there, you know. And I think that sometimes the camera does pick up these orbs or these spirits. I've seen people have sent me pictures of them with like their auras or, you know, like a spirit, something, you know, an angel behind them. You know, it's very abstract, but there's something definitely going on there.
Right.
So,
and I've been fortunate enough to have seen pictures that non-professional photographers were taking that had clear enough images that you could make out that it wasn't just the light, you know, that
yeah.
there was actually something there, but none this clear. Where you can actually see that. And that is a beautiful image. And I remember looking through this, especially the first time, going, wow, did she take that picture? Did somebody draw that in there? You know, and then as I
yeah.
became more familiar with the book, it was like, it's there. You know,
it is
really real.
Yeah, it is. I mean, most of the things you see in the book, well, everything you see in the book is actually there. Mm-hmm. It's I may enhance color, or maybe there's something like I like of, like I'm looking at the Angel of Children's Dreams, like in that particular instance, like something simple, like I like might like a piece of fabric from another shot, I might put that in, but I'm not adding any of the rainbows or orbs or, you know, rays. All that comes, all of it's there, and that's just part of the magic of the work. Mm-hmm. And I think it's from setting, you know, such a strong intention and having the angels there with me. I'll tell you one of my favorite stories from the book, because to me this was the hugest affirmation. Like, I, of course, believed in angels and felt their presence in my life and had seen proof. But I was at this juncture where I was finished writing the book. I had all the photographs. They were all printed out, and I had them all on the wall of my studio, and I had my manuscript. And I'd written a very, very long manuscript. It was 60 pages. And this book has really very little room for text, because it really is a picture book, and the pictures dominate it. So I knew I had to get rid of three-quarters of the text. But I think, as anyone who writes, you know, you start to fall in love with what you're doing, and I didn't want to get rid of anything, and I had this deadline where I really had to get it to the publisher, so I was in this state of panic, and the book talks about this being in that state of fear where I couldn't hear my guidance. I couldn't hear my angels because this fear was blocking me, and this knock came at my door, and I felt like, I don't want to answer the door. Who is it? I'm working. But he kept knocking, and I answered the door, and it was my landlord at the time. His name is Omar, and I hadn't seen him in months. And he said, oh, well, they told me to come up and see you, that you needed to see me. And I said, I don't need to see you. Who told you that? And he said, the angels.
Oh.
Now, I knew that I was supposed to rent this space to do the angel book, because when I came to see it, he started talking about angels. And this is in New York City, you know, so it's like, oh, I just walked into this space, which is amazing. The energy felt great. And he's talking about angels. So he knew I was writing an angel book, but we didn't really have a lot of contact. It was very out of the blue that he just walked up in that moment and said, the angels told me to come up. And I was still in that state of, I'm sure like most people can relate to this, where you just really have a lot of fear, and you're like, I've got to get this done. You're very stressed out. And I'm like, oh, the angels sent you up, huh? You know, even though I'm working on the book, I'm like, part of me is like, I got to finish. You got to leave, Omar. So he's like, let me come in. So I said, here's the photographs. And I showed him. He's like, oh, they're amazing. And he's like, well, there's this large angel right here. And he shows me the spot, and he's like, can't you feel the energy of the angel? And I'm looking at the spot, and I'm imagining the big angel, and he's like, give me your hands. And he takes my hands, and he's like, I'm gonna, you know, help you feel the energy of the angel. And my hands, like, he took them, and they were kind of started floating, and I felt like this, almost like this light wash over me. And then he left. And I went to my, I just went to the computer, pulled out some scissors, printed out the manuscript again, and started cutting. And I cut out every part that was meant to be in the book and just taped it under each photograph, and did it in like 45 minutes.
Wow.
And it was completely the angels, like, coming through me. I mean, what seemed impossible like 20 minutes before just happened effortlessly, and I feel like that was like such a gift, such an amazing gift. So
I just love those stories of synchronicity, and I can't express enough how these are the kind of things the angels just love to do. If we open to that, it's so there. They really will just, you know, be there for us. They'll do those kind of things. They'll send somebody to knock at our door.
Yes.
And say, hey, you know, be here. I have so much, like, I've just kind of been going through the book as you've been talking, and there's just so much. And this is how I felt. Like, I thought, oh, I'm going to write down some questions for Sousa. And the more I got into trying to write down, my brain was going too fast. I couldn't even write. Like I said, I just get lost in the book. But one of the comments I was just noticing as I was looking back through was the angel, the photograph of the angel of trust and the angel of sorrow, they're similar in the way that they're presented. They're very different colors and they're different looks, but the photographs themselves are similar. It's the same kind of profile look, the closed eyes. And I find it interesting that the messages there, to me, resonate similarly. It's about connecting with ourselves and being open to spirit. And trust, for me, is very akin to faith. And I always tell people, as great as their fear is, as great as their faith, they're really the same thing, except for we're looking at it from different perspectives. So I just want to share a moment that the angel of trust, the message that you got there is, there's an invisible curtain that separates the physical world from the non-physical world. We create the curtain with our disbelief and cynicism. Break through your disbelief. Trust that everything in your life has meaning. And I love that because it is about faith. And the sorrow is very similar to me. The message is very similar, and that is fear is an absence of light, a darkness that seeps into your soul. It prevents you from being all that you are, a beacon of light for all to see. Personally, they're the same message, just delivered in different language.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Completely.
You know, it's about just, it's like, gosh, just everything you need's inside of you because the entire universe is contained within you because you're not separate from it. That's the whole, like, that just reverberates through me. It's like I really wish people would get that. And that's a huge part of my desire to have the Honoring Hour out there, is really to promote this all as one. And, you know, I'm glad your book's on the market because I think it really helps. I mean, I know that people are going to look through it and they're going to see different things than what I see, but I just think the idea that it's out there for people to open their minds is, it's just such an instrument in really shifting the paradigm.
Oh, thank you. I so appreciate that. I think that's such an amazing observation you just made because it's completely true. I mean, there is no accident that they look so similar. You're right. I mean, visually, they were meant to be like that, but of course, it's like the angel of trust has like that luminescent glow behind her, and she's got the yellow and the orange, which those colors represent courage and hope and illumination, whereas the sorrow, you know, she's very blue. And blue is an illuminated color too, but I was using it more for that sadness, for, because that's when I'm closed, I feel that sadness. But the book is really about what you just said, is that it is all contained. Everything is contained in each of us, and there is no need to look outward for it, because it's all in our own selves. And that's actually the conclusion of the book. That's the ending of the book, is where, you know, my character realizes that the love is within me, because when she lost her beloved, she thought all the love in the world was gone. And how could this love be replaced? And actually, the kind of the catalyst for this book was me having a conversation with my spiritual mentor, Gary Zukav. And I was telling him about this death and how I felt like there really was no more love, that love was gone, that unconditional, amazing love that I'd felt was gone. And he said to me, he said, "Souza, the love is in you. It can't go away." And it seems like such a simple thing to say, but for me, that was like a complete light bulb moment where I was like, wow. He said, you know, the love that I felt was triggered by this other being, but it wasn't because of it. It triggered the love that was in me. And I'd always believe that any fear that I feel inside myself is, you know, things trigger it from the outside, but it's always in me. But I never thought, oh, but the love's in me too. It just, you know, I never even occurred to me. And when he said that to me, it really opened out my eyes to the world in a different way, that, wow, it really is in me. And that's when the real work on the book began, and also, you know, changed my spiritual journey. So
Right. I'm always so grateful for the people who come in and teach us lessons and really open our eyes. And, you know, your loss, while, you know, I'm very sorry that you experienced it, it really did. It really was a catalyst for strength in the world. And there's a greater purpose that came from that. And I'm sure that you know that. I can tell that you know that through writing the book. I think it can be unfortunate at times that we have to lose someone to be able to get to that place. But when we just allow the greater good to come through, it goes beyond what we could experience in that moment. And then there are those people that hold for us that space, like, you know, the person that you lost in the book that held for you that reflection that look at what's inside of you, look at this beauty. And then you've got, you know, Gary who came through and said, let me hold the space long enough to remind you what you were looking at. And everyone in the world has people who can hold that space for them. They may not have encountered them yet, or maybe they don't pay attention to them. What I find is a lot of people are not ready to recognize that when that happens. But it's truly a gift that comes to us when someone reflects back that empowerment, that grace, and that connection, that truth of who we are. It's just a beautiful experience. And I'll send out to the universe today that my wish for the entire population on the planet is that, you know, sometime, you know, within this week, everyone have the experience of having their inner truth reflected back to them, because it's one of the most incredible experiences on the planet, I believe.
Oh, I agree with you. I think that's beautiful. And everything is a gift, and even though when something painful does happen, like losing a loved one, and it is so painful, there is a gift, and that's part of the journey, is to find the gift and to look at the opportunity that's being given. And, you know, obviously, I mean, I was very fortunate. The universe really supported me, and I had a lot of angels there supporting me. And that's another point in the book, actually, is that you've got to acknowledge your angels or they can't help you. They can be standing right around you waiting, but if you don't believe, or you don't acknowledge, or you don't ask, then you can't really be helped. You know, you've got to have that relationship. It really is a relationship. I think that's what I'm trying to say. And so I'm always in relationship with my angels. And I'm so curious about your workshop, though. I wanted to ask you about it and what you do in the workshop.
Well, this will be the first time I've really taught it. It's going to be a telecourse, so this is the first time I've taught it like that. But normally, when I teach it in person, we just get together and I just have people connect with individually. I'll have them connect with their angels, their soul, and their guides. And I like to start with angels again, because the angels are just so easy, and they're just so fun-loving, and they just really, to me, they build the courage that people need to be able to say, oh, I can do that. Because so many times we put that outside of ourselves. You know, we look, you know, in the different religious texts, and we believe that information was given to these people, you know, by this higher power, but we don't hold that truth for ourselves. You know, we think that these people were superhuman in some way or special, and that's not true. Everybody is equally special. So when I start with the angels, I'll just have them connect, and then we do, you know, some little try it out. You know, they get a message for themselves. I'll have them get a message for other people in the classroom. I'll show them how to use some tools to do that. And then I move on to their guides and their soul and have them experience it and just see the difference in the energy. You know, the soul is usually more serious. Even, you know, even a comical soul, there's just a different quality to the feel. Experiencing the angels, and then our guides are our peer groups. So, you know, they you know, sometimes have a more serious agenda. That, you know, they're just, it's like talking to your friends, except for they're not physically embodied. So it's really about just experiencing the different avenues we have out there to reach out and get help.
Mm-hmm.
you know.
I love that. That's a great class.
Thanks.
That's excellent.
Thanks. And, you know, I was just opened up to another page that you have in the book where, you're obviously in a city. There's buildings in the background, and there's a statue on the left page, and it's actually a statue that has an angel attached to it.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And the picture of the angel beneath it, and the message is just real simple. We are with you.
Yeah, that was, I'll always say, that's one of my favorites because they're all my favorites. But there's always a story to go with them. That is in on Columbus Circle in New York City, and it's the entrance to Central Park. And that angel has been sitting there for as long as I've lived in New York City, and I always drive by it, and I love that angel. And I knew I was supposed to take a picture of an angel, you know, under that angel. And so I remember it was like I went to Columbus Circle 2 years before I actually took this picture to scout the location, look at, you know, when is the light going to be the best for the angel. And I walked up to the circle, and there was construction all around it, and they had it shut off. And I walked up to a construction worker, and I said, what's going on? I mean, and he said, oh, we're redoing Columbus Circle, putting in a new fountain, and they're re-landscaping it. And I said, how long is this going to take? And he said, 2 years. And I was devastated. I mean, because I knew this was going to be, you know, a double-page spread in the book. And I said, 2 years? I'm like, but I've got to take a picture of an angel here. And he's like, well, ma'am, you're going to have to wait 2 years to take a picture of the angel here. I love New York City because people are just like, yeah, of course she wants to take a picture of an angel here. Then I waited 2 years, and I'll tell you, as soon as it opened, well, what was amazing was in that 2 years, they built the Time Warner Center, which is right across the street. And it's a beautiful, huge building, and it's all mirrored glass. So when I went to photograph this picture 2 years later, the Time Warner building was up. And so you can see how this is the sun's just rising. It's very early in the morning, and what's happening is the sun is reflecting into basically mirrors behind me. So all this light is happening in this photograph, which is very ethereal looking. And so it created this really amazing effect. And so it was the perfect time to take the photograph. I mean, and that's how it always is. But, you know, sometimes I want to do things on my time schedule, which is very different than divine time. So
you waited 2 years?
I did.
You know, and that is a testament to waiting, like divine timing, because I'm impatient. I just started chomping at the bit and thinking, I got to get this done. That's just a real testament.
Oh, I was thinking that, Lynn, believe me. But I was like, well, I'm just going to wait. I mean, a lot of these pictures, there's a picture of an angel at the Bethesda Fountain in Central Park, and that's the angel of Bethesda. And that angel is actually, it's this beautiful fountain, and the angel of Bethesda is to protect the waters. Mm. So she's there to protect the waters of New York City. And I wanted to take a picture of an angel there for many years, and actually had made a couple of attempts, but it was never the right day. You know, I can always feel the right day, the right light, you know, and then, you know, it was the right day, you know, finally when we went and did that picture. So, yeah, it was definitely, this book was done on divine time. It wasn't really on my time schedule.
That's great. That's really great. I want to ask, going back to the other picture, the little boy, was he actually standing there, or did you put him in?
Oh, no, he's there. And it's so funny because he's there, and I look at it, and I'm like, it looks like he was put in, but he was really there. This is my friend's son. He was like 2 years old, and he's really looking at the angel, and he was like, in disbelief. You know, of the angel, you know, that we created for him to look at. It's all there. There's two people walking through, which usually, you know, we try to stop people from walking through. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I'm just like, let's see what happens. And I felt like when they walked by, their shadows kind of look like wings of angels.
Yeah.
So But no, everything you see in that picture is there.
That's amazing. And you can just, like, he's just completely looking at that angel. I mean,
he is. So yeah.
Awesome. My daughter was really big. Like, it took her a long time before she stopped openly, and she's 11. And she still does talk with her angels, but we had to, like, reignite that. For about a year, she kind of, like, shied away from it.
Mm.
But she always saw angels. And when I was a child, and my grandmother was dying, there were always people in her room. And I was an adult before I knew that there weren't people in her room. Like, I thought they just came every day to stay in there and sit with her.
Oh,
I mean,
that's so great.
You know,
you were seeing the angels and you didn't know it.
Yeah. Yeah, and just, yeah, it was just amazing to me. So,
wow.
You know, it made me question, you know, a lot of what I thought was real in my childhood, and which was real. It, you know, it's even more real than, you know, than what other people chose not to see, in my opinion. But, yeah, I was, it was only a couple years ago that I was having a conversation with my sister and she and my mother, and they're like, no, Lynn, there was never, we took care of Grandma. There was never anybody that came in and did that. Well, y'all are wrong.
You're like, there were other beings there taking care of Grandma.
Absolutely. So yeah, I just I love to watch the children when they're doing things that, you know, other people think they're just playing or they're talking to themselves. It's like, yeah, I know better. I may not be able to see it, but I definitely know better.
Yeah, well, the kids definitely can see things and are connected. I remember seeing Angel when I was very small. Like, I wasn't even walking yet, I don't think. But I'd forgotten. I completely had forgotten until I started working on this book. And I think it's those things, like, obviously in my unconscious mind, I remembered seeing an angel and feeling the experience of being in the presence of an angel, which was very strong. The memory, I can, you know, feel it still now that I've, you know, reawakened it. But I think, wow, what, you know, what a state to live in, just that state of, you know, seeing and feeling the presence of, you know, this unseen world and...
Mm-hmm.
And that's the world I want to live in, so
right.
that's why I do the books.
That's awesome. So do you have another book in the works, or are you working on anything new right now?
Well, I have two other books that I'm working on. One is another fairies book, and then one is a retelling of a fairy tale, because I love fairy tales. And I may do another angel book at some point. I just kind of waiting to see, and I'm the kind of person who there's not going to be a book every year or 2 years from, because I really, you know, I start working on a project and I have to see, is this really what needs to happen,
mm-hmm.
or needs to come through me? So I'm not even sure if these two books will be the one right now. I work very organically. I'm not very commercial in the way I work as an author. It's, you know, it's really about what is supposed to be shown next. So, and sometimes it takes time for me to know that. It's not so clear, and I really have to listen and start working on something, and then it turns into something else. So that's where I'm at right now.
You know, you are like a poster child for the message I'm trying to get out to the world. It's like, follow that inner guidance. When you do, it just doesn't lead you wrong.
I'll be a poster child for that. I love it. It's true, because it is, it's so interesting, because, like, in our world, like, everything is like, there's, you know, a rhythm and everything moves so fast, and it's like, oh, you got to get this out and this out so people, you know who you are. And I just don't work on that schedule, because I really feel like, especially with my books, they are such labors of love. And the reason I do them is because I feel like I was gifted with this talent and this ability to show the unseen world. So I really want it to always come from a very genuine, integrity-filled place within myself. So I kind of work on, like, well, there may never be another book, or there might be five more. I have to see what happens. So...
Mm-hmm.
Which can be maddening to some people, but I'm really comfortable with it.
That's wonderful, though. And I, you know, you gave me permission to use some of your pictures, which I did. I used one in a newsletter that I did back in January. I chose the Angel of Winter picture.
Oh. Uh-huh.
My son had lost his best friend on New Year's Day, and in a car accident. And I was dreading that because he's an 18-year-old child. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. and God, he was just always smiling. He was a kid that was in my house, and I missed him. You know, and I felt bad for my son, and I felt bad for the family. But when I went to the funeral, it was really. It wasn't about sadness. I mean, you know, this kid's message was so strong that it, you know, you expect when you go to a young person's funeral, it's bad enough to go to a funeral, but when you go to a young person's funeral who's lost their life early, there's just a different type of sadness that can accompany it. But he was so strong in his character that it was one of the most upbeat funerals I've ever been to. And quite frankly, if every funeral were like that, I would probably willingly go to more. Because it was a celebration of life.
Mm.
But I honored him in the newsletter that I put out with your Angel of Winter, not just because she's so beautiful and because of the colors that she embodies, but also because of her message, which is, the storm is fierce and black, yet a ray of light shines through the shadows towards a new day, toward hope.
Mm.
And I loved that message. And that's, you know, I hear people fussing about winter, but... You know, and I think about winter and death and, you know, the rebirthing of everything that's coming. And it's just such a time to go in and reflect. And that angel really spoke to me. Like it's just such a necessary let it be. You know, let yourself go dormant a little bit so that all this new life can spring forth.
Hmm. Yeah, that is so beautiful. That is so true. I think it's so true. I think we're kind of experiencing that now. You know, with the winter. Well, back east.
yeah. Well, here in our area, you know, I've not seen so much snow sit on the ground for such a length of time. I don't know if ever in my lifetime, and I've always lived in this area, we've certainly had a lot of snow before, but this seems to be like the longest amount of time that a lot of snow stayed on the ground.
Really? Yeah, I live in New York City, so, you know, our snow comes and it goes pretty quickly. It melts pretty quickly, but... You know, that feeling of winter, it's that energy of, you know, people, of things lying dormant and kind of, you know, gathering energy, you know, for the rebirth, you know, in the spring. And I think the spring's going to be, I think it's going to bring a lot of surprises. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of surprises and a lot of really wonderful things. So I think people have been in very difficult times.
Yeah.
Lately.
Yeah, I agree with that sentiment. I do think this spring is going to be very different. It seems like nothing is as we've expected it. And, you know, and if we just allow the difference, it's so much more incredible than what we could have tried to plan for.
It's so true. When you just stay open to whatever could happen, you know, just staying open and not that planning. Sometimes there's things you have to plan for, but I feel like there can be like that compulsive, like needing to know what's going to happen. And, you know, we never know what's going to happen, really. It's kind of always a surprise, I think. So I'm just kind of feel like I'm going to go with it and embrace it and trust. And that goes back to, of course, the angel of trust.
Mm-hmm.
Trusting, it's so important.
Now, I know that you took a lot of pictures, and you said that every picture in here is your favorite picture, as really is mine, too. I don't think you can look at the book and not have every page be your favorite. But was there, like, do you have, like, an all-time favorite? Like, if you could have only put one picture in here, is there one you would have chosen?
Oh, that's such a hard question.
No, and that's why you have the whole book, right? To that question.
That's why I did 64 pages. That's a lot of angels. I'd have to say that probably, well, aesthetically speaking, Angel of Winter is my favorite. And I think that comes from more of a technical, it's just everything happened in that photograph. To me, that's almost like a perfect picture,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, I'm very meticulous and can be a perfectionist. So that's, you know, really me enjoying my work. But I feel like the Angel of Compassion probably, to me, is the most important angel in the book, and she's on the cover. And that was the message that I kept waiting for. That was actually, that message came very shortly before we went, you know, I turned in the work to the publisher. And because I think I had a lot of blocks, and I wasn't hearing, you know, what the message of compassion was. And I'll read it. These are the gifts we wish to share with you: compassion, charity, and hope. Recognize and accept your own humanity, and you will embrace the humanity of others. And I feel like compassion is so important, and to have compassion for others and for yourself. So I guess I'd pick probably the Angel of Compassion.
You know, I love that picture, too. It's she reminds me so much of my daughter energetically, because my daughter's really taught me a lot about compassion and being able to open and love other people and just, you know, not, I was real guarded before my daughter came along, and she's shown me it's safe to not be in that space all the time.
Oh, what a gift.
Yeah, she is. Both of my kids are just, you know, and I'm sure everyone, you know, has that same experience with their children. So they're just, you know, while sometimes we might trade them, you know, for little or nothing, the blessings that they give us are just beyond, beyond anything we could ever, you know, have a monetary, put a monetary value on. So the last picture in the book, the last page of the book, where you do the dedication, and what is that angel? Who is she?
Is that the one, it's the very last one where it says angels are everywhere, or the dedication?
It's the dedication page.
Oh, okay. That was, that angel was actually at Central Park, at Bethesda Fountain.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the angel that purifies waters.
Oh, okay.
And the angel that, and that's, and the angel's actually in the corner. You can see her looking over the other angels. And this angel doesn't have really a name. It's an angel of harmony or love like the other ones. It's just more representation of that angels are everywhere, mm-hmm. and that you never are alone, which, you know, is the dedication. It's dedicated to every person who's ever felt alone, because I think most people can relate to that. And the thing is that we aren't alone. And I guess probably if I had to say one sentence about the book, that would be it, that we're never alone, and that angels are always around and available to help us. So,
yeah, I just, as many times as I've gone through this book, there's always been something about that page that, can't say I've avoided it, because I haven't, but there was something about it when I just looked at it again that thought, wow, I really resonate with this page for some reason. And it's not surprising to me that she's the angel of water, because I always associate water with change, abundance, emotional being, and I work with the emotional body in the work that I do.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I kept getting drawn back to her, not knowing who it was or, you know, what her representation was. So that's interesting that's what her association is.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm looking at it now and it really has a feeling of water over it.
Yeah.
But a lot of this, like, happens kind of subconsciously. It all happens. It wasn't, like, conscious in my mind to create that, so.
Right. Which, again, is why, you know, I'm encouraging people. I know that in the chat room we've had people go to your website while we've been on the show, but it just, the website's great. Everybody go to it, please, www.myth.com. But don't miss out on ordering the book and getting the book and putting it in your hands, because, again, I don't personally feel like the website conveyed the energy that comes from physically holding this book and experiencing each page.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. It's very difficult to get a website to give you the energy of the book. Is so, you know, it's large and it's, like, beautifully printed. So it has that, I don't know, it just has this feeling to it. It does kind of vibrate with energy. So I probably should put more about the book on the website, but maybe later.
I know there's always so much to do with the website, isn't it?
There's always the website, yes. There's a lot to do with the website. So
now I just want, because we don't have very long, but I didn't want to overlook the fact that you were in the library when you were coming out of your grief, and mm-hmm. you were given a book that really kind of started you on this path. Will you just talk about that a little bit before we go? Because that to me is like a real serious message that people just need to know, that we need to be open, especially when we're in a rough space, because we're never, those are really the times that if we just allow that there's so much help around, there's so much abundant help around, and they're trying to talk to us.
Yeah, that was really interesting. Actually, there's a picture in the book, The Angel of Knowledge, that I photographed in the New York Public Library on 42nd Street, which is an amazing, amazing place. And what I started doing was really trying to listen to my intuition, and also open to the possibility that, you know, the angels were guiding me. And by doing that, it kind of guided me to different places where things would be given to me or something would pop out that I'm supposed to see. Like, I was in this bookstore. It's called the Strand Bookstore in New York City, and it's 18 acres of books. It's a huge, huge bookstore. And I was in there wandering around, and literally a book just kind of popped out and fell down at my feet. Now, you could say there was a person on the other side looking at books, and that's how this book fell down. Well, it was a book about angels guiding you. And that is what happened, and that's my interpretation of that, you know, in the book, is that someone handed me the book. But I was in this bookstore, and literally this book just fell at my feet, and I have it, you know, in my apartment right now, you know, angels guiding you. And I feel like, you know, if you're open, you will see signs, you will see messages everywhere, because they're coming all the time. It's just, are you open to them? And the more that I became open, the more my life changed. And that's really the only way to move out of that grief, because I think grief can really keep a person stuck. Mm-hmm. And it's like the angel of sorrow, where you're really in a dark place, and only, you know, you can move yourself out of that. And part of that is opening to the guidance around us. And so it was just always little things like that. I mean, the story of how the book came to be is quite a miracle. I don't really think that this book would normally exist in a world like this, because it's a very expensive book to do because of the printing, the color work on it. And publishers just don't take those chances that much anymore because of the cost and what's happening with the book industry. But, you know, this book came to be through all these little things happened to make it happen. So I think if people start, like, looking at the little things that happen every day, you start to see a bigger thing, and that miracles are happening around us all the time.
That's beautiful. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Susa, for...
Well, thank you.
Sharing, you know, I just, this book is, you know, it stays always in my sight. It's on my desk when I work, and, you know, I take it downstairs with me every now and then to kind of flip through it while I'm sitting in the, you know, in the living room just relaxing. It really is, it's a feel-good book. Like, that is one of the things that I use it for. You know, like, if I'm starting to feel a little stuck or down, I will open up that book and start moving through it.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so glad to hear that. Yay.
So everyone, please do visit Susa at www.myth.com, because she's got some other great books on there that I want you all to be able to experience, and definitely, you know, give yourself the gift of this Evidence of Angels books. I can speak personally to it. Want to remind you that our next show is going to be with Sabine Venberg. She's going to be talking to us about reactivating our passion. I'm going to be holding an opening communications class telecourse. You can go and sign up for that at www.thehonoringhour.com. please do friend us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are growing, and our March 23rd episode will be our year anniversary, so we're looking forward to some wonderful things with you. Thanks for joining us today on the Honoring Hour, and we'll be with you again in a few weeks. Good day.